I'm happy to talk about one of our sponsors, great sponsor, good friend, Vinny Brand, owns the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. The website is stressfactory.com. Vinny Brand runs one of the great comedy clubs, honestly, in the country. Not only does he have A-list comics coming in almost every single week, but the show is great. The food is fantastic. The staff, the service, there's parking right next door. If you've not discovered the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, you've got to get there. Go to stressfactory.com and buy your tickets. It's a great night out, reasonable cost, absolutely hilarious entertainment, great food and hospitality. Stressfactory.com.
Looking for a car, new or used? This is Jay Black to tell you there's no better destination than our friends at the Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, located on Route 202 and 31 in Flemington and at Flemington.com. Here you will find 16 automotive brands, plus over 500 available certified pre-owned vehicles to fit every budget. You'll get the financing, the trade-in value, and the credit you need, and dependable vehicle service maintenance that delivers peace of mind. Choose from Ford, Lincoln, Audi, Volkswagen, Porsche, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Infiniti, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, BMW, and Subaru. Shop them all, knowing every Flemington Car and Truck Country location has earned the coveted dealer-rated customer satisfaction award for 2017 based on your reviews. The Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, an honest, straightforward organization that has been satisfying customers for over 40 years. Family, independent, not corporate. Visit any of their 8 dealership locations on routes 202 and 31 in Flemington or at Flemington.com.
It's Aaron Lawler.
Lawler.
Patterson, though.
Patterson. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's totally Patterson. High maintenance, whatever,
oh,
but no. I'm Lawler.
What the hell?
Cool.
Oh, okay.
But I'm Lawler. I know it's a.
Wait, so you got a fake name?
Right, no, it's super dumb. It's a judge free zone.
That's right. Yeah. Judge free.
No, this is a judge.
So we're very judgy here.
So Aaron Patterson, and what's the name of the podcast again?
Goodness Chick.
Goodness Chick. Oh, I like
that. Yeah, do you dig it? Yeah. Oh, that's my thing.
All right, we ready?
All right, let's do it.
At this. All right. Hey, guys, welcome back to Speaking Millennial. I am Bill Spadia here with my co-hosts, Jessica Nutt and Jay Black. Good to see you guys. I'd plug you on Twitter, which I try to do every time, but I'm not going to do it.
I'm not on Twitter. I'm living a life, Bill.
You should be on one form of social media so I have something to plug.
I am
honestly, it's exhausting, Jay.
I'm on,
it really is.
I'm on South African LinkedIn. You can find me. It's only on a LinkedIn page on South African. I'm on.
We've got a special guest.
On Czechoslovakian Friendster. Find me on that.
Friendster. I like that. I'm on Friendster. All right, so you've got a special guest who, her name is Erin. We thought one thing and then the other, and then maybe it's both. How you doing, Erin?
Maybe both. I'm doing pretty good.
All right, go ahead. Give me your two names.
Erin Patterson.
Erin Lawler Patterson.
Erin Lawler Patterson.
Lawler?
Yeah.
Dash. How do you spell that?
L-A-W-L-E-R.
Lawler. Okay. Yeah.
Lawler Patterson. Is there a dash?
There's
a slash?
I'm dash free.
Okay. Dash
free. Oh, dash free.
Slash free.
So Lawler's like a middle name?
It will be in the future. So okay. To get all, it's what I go. My work name is my maiden name. And then Patterson is my married name, but I wrote a book and I do stuff like my,
so what'd you
my
do
blog.
With the book? Patterson?
I did Lawler Patterson. Non slash, non dash. I just I rock.
What's
it
your
out,
Twitter so. Handle?
I am 2016 Twitter's the last time I tweeted. So
there you go.
I don't understand what there's a challenge here between the co-host and the guests.
I
and
wonder if she's
Twitter.
Ever sent
Gives
you an email
angst.
And gotten the tweet me response.
Yeah. Probably
I
not.
I won't
not
read
yet.
This tweet me. It's better to reach me.
Yeah. I tell people, yeah, tweet
Call
me.
Call me, tweet me. If you want to reach me.
Yeah. I got an email today.
What happened in November of 2016 that would make you not want to be on Twitter anymore? I can't think of anything that would be disturbing.
Oh, give me a few more years.
Is that what happened? You stopped? You just couldn't do it? It was too much of the politics?
I'm too ADD. So it was, for me, too many social media handles. And
I'm totally ADD, which is why it works for me.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I'm Instagram and Twitter while I'm broadcasting.
I thought that was like an off-the-cuff date you picked. I didn't realize it was specific.
It was totally off-the-cuff. Okay. But it's always like, roll with November.
Here's what it is, Erin. Jay politicizes everything because he tries to get at least one shot in on Trump. On every
and we did it. We got
you
check.
Were talking
we
Trump.
Check.
Funny.
I was just thinking
Thanksgiving 2016.
There was a lot of bad stuff happened Thanksgiving 2016.
Wendy's stock plummeted and I was traumatized.
Yeah, I mean, it was terrible.
Wendy's. Yeah. I love Wendy's. I used to love Wendy's more.
What happened? You don't like redheads?
Well, let me tell you something. It's the baked potato bar. It used to be like you'd get the baked potato at the counter. Right. You'd go over to the bar. They had the whole sneeze thing.
I've never seen that before.
That's old.
That's old school.
That sounds delicious.
It is so good. So you get the baked potato. comes out hot. It's so good. And then you've got your choice of toppings. There's bacon, there's cheese, chives, sour cream.
Okay, listen.
So you can, wait, hold on. Chili. Think about this for a minute. Chili and melted cheese on a baked potato.
My dad had Wendy's last night for dinner. When's the last time you've eaten Wendy's?
It was probably like 20 years ago.
Yes, yeah.
They don't have the baked potato bar anymore. Am I right?
No, because
15 years ago, yeah.
As someone who travels a lot for a living, I agree with Wendy's decision to remove any food that you can't throw into your muzzle at full speed while you're driving. I don't have time to fix up a potato.
You want
to
drink it.
Yeah, I mean, if
drink
they blended
your calories.
It.
No, but I would go inside and sit and actually dine like a human being, like civilized.
You take your wife out to a nice night at Wendy's.
A nice night at Wendy's, that's
Lesson
it.
Forks
Honey,
tonight.
Put on the good shoes, we're going to Wendy's. Get whatever you want from the fixins bar.
You can have any topping you want.
But not too much cheese. Let's not over. You got to drive home together.
You know, another great place like that was Fuddruckers, which has an uncomfortable, awkward name.
It was awesome. That was my favorite place to go. Just got to be like, let's go to Fuddruckers.
No, that?
I loved it. I went there all the time. And I...
There's one near you, you know.
Yeah, it's gone now, I think.
It's gone.
Yeah.
And there's only one left. It's somewhere in North Jersey, and it's terrible.
The
quality just collapsed.
There were a few down here. Yeah. I mean,
your burger and your meat, like in the can, it was raw. It was there. Mm-hmm. You're picking it.
I mean, it wasn't raw when you ate it.
It wasn't raw when you ate it. Mine was almost raw.
They had ostrich burgers. There is for Delicious. A while. And mm-hmm. I would eat that all the time because I like exotic meat. That's one thing you need to know about me, Bill.
I'm sure your therapist knows that, right?
I've eaten rattlesnake. I've eaten kangaroo. Anything that was very interesting and alive and now dead, I will eat.
Aaron. so you are, help me out.
Wendy's,
you're a counselor.
I am. I'm a high school addictions counselor.
Wow. How's that?
Interesting.
Is it worse today than it was? Like, how long have you been doing it?
15 years.
All right. So how much worse is it today, or do we just hear about it more?
I mean, everything, we hear about it more, but everything just like when it comes to drugs or mental health, everything's cyclic. And so-
right.
You know, you just right now you're hearing and you have to be under a rock to not hear about like the whole opiate epidemic and heroin epidemic, which is real and crazy. And
it's crazy.
It's crazy train.
Even at the high school level.
Even at the high school level. Well, I'll say this because it starts somewhere and it starts with prescription pills.
Right. So, but like these kids are being prescribed the pills, or is it their parents are being prescribed?
I'm going to get all crazy drug lady on you because it's kind of multifaceted.
Oh, thank you, Aaron, because we now have a title. For
crazy drug lady.
Thank you.
Thank
you for that.
Hey, 3.7 minutes. Drug lady gone wild. So it's whether it's been prescribed to the kid who blew his knee out playing basketball, or we have in our heads, we're programmed from the 10,000 hours of commercials of like, if you're feeling kind of funky, little cloud following you, I take a pill. And so we're wired like I'm feeling funkadelic.
Right.
And I go into the medicine cabinet. It drives me crazy.
With the cloud.
It does.
And
a little squishy
like
ball. And it's
and
like
the cloud
sad.
Is happy.
And it's like, woo, crazy train happiness. Yeah.
Yes.
And then so.
Hold on.
Have
you seen that commercial?
Hold on one second. Before I process this, let me take my Wellbutrin.
We're dealing with this addiction right here on this podcast.
Well, and I'm not in any way condemning meds, but I think we've been brought up in this, like, and everything comes down to money with pharmaceutical companies just jamming down our throat. You feel like crappy, you're feeling funky, you pop a pill, and people are self-diagnosing themselves, even kids, you know, and so I pop a pill or I'm given a pill. I've worked with young people who did nothing wrong. They did what their doctors told them to.
Yeah.
And now they're like, what's wrong with me? And or a parent or a grandparent, and we get super uncomfortable with addiction.
So when did this turn, Aaron? Because I'm thinking like, all right, when I was in high school, it was all pot.
Right.
And a little Coke. That was pretty much it.
You went to high school in the 30s, though. A lot of people don't know this. You were having jazz cigarettes. You're hanging out with your...
Wearing your spats.
Yeah, you put on your spats, you'd put on your evening clothes, and you'd have a jazz cigarette before you went to the Wendy's Fixin' Bar. Nothing makes a baked potato taste better than pot, kids.
But was that bad when you were in high school, Jessica?
I graduated 10 years ago. I remember my friend had some sort of Percocet given to her after it was like a surgery or a car accident, and she wasn't taking them all because she was afraid of coming off of them. So someone in her life told her, hey, do not take all of these as the doctor prescribed them to you. It's too much. And she didn't.
Isn't that a shame, though, that somebody has to...
then she sold them at school to everyone.
Yeah. That somebody has to come in and tell you that. Yeah, that they come in... Like, the doctor isn't saying, hey, I prescribed you too many. It's somebody else coming in and going, don't take everything
the
doctor
gave you. But how much of this, Aaron, and we were talking about that Jessica and I do a lot of charity events with local recovery groups, and And I've put this to them. And every time I say it, I get a great reaction from the crowd. And that is, how much of this is coping skills, dealing with adversity? We're so like afraid of pain. We're afraid of conflict, that there's a pill for everything. And, you know, it's like, and I don't blame. And it's, when's this going to air? Is this?
I think we're going to do Meatloaf Day next and week. This. And then this.
So this will be 2 weeks from now.
This will be the come down. Yeah. Speaking meatloaf of addictions. Day. We are addicted to meat-based loaf foods.
Yes.
And
yes,
then after that, our come down will be this episode.
But I say this because Governor Christie and a lot of the politicians in New Jersey want to blame somebody. Mm-hmm. So they're suing the pharmaceutical companies. They're making a big deal about the drugs themselves. And I'm like, the drugs don't take themselves.
Like, it's one spoke in the wheel, though. They're one big spoke in the wheel.
But don't you think they're using them as a, like, let's go after them and we vilified them and nobody ever talks about
coping skills. You don't think they're trying to get employees for life or customers for life, though?
Well, they might, but I mean, at some point, at what point do you teach kids, like, don't take a pill for everything?
But if your doctor says, I mean, listen, these people went to the doctors and the doctor said, here's your prescription. Your friend got a prescription of 30 pills.
Right.
And somebody else had to come and say, don't take all those pills.
And said, I would take someone who had a root canal.
Yeah. And why are you questioning your dentist? Like, I take this Percocet. And so I think I think the big pharma is a very large component. It's not the whole thing. It's easy to blame them. And we should put a big part of blame on them. But in terms of when you come to the coping skills and I'll say the educational piece.
Well, what do you do with the young kids? Because like you could say for pharmaceutical drugs, right, tens of millions of people are taking them every year.
Absolutely, right.
Most
and that's just West Virginia.
But most don't get addicted, right? So what do you tell that kid that is struggling with it? And when do you see them? Is it like way beyond when they're already into heroin, or do you see it?
No, my approach is a little bit different than kind of the standard conventional approach. And I think our standard conventional approach doesn't work. And I feel like in a lot of ways.
What is it?
Our standard approach, my approaches are the standard approach.
What's the standard?
It's kind of like, you know, just, I mean, no offense to Nancy Reagan, but my little red pin and just say no. Yeah. Or just, you know, now let's talk about drugs and they're bad for you. And the whole like kind of reefer madness. If you the smoke egg. Weed, you're going to super die. You know, or if you, you know, this is what, you know, what it
like
destroys.
A super
die. But it's super true. I mean, you might super die, but the chances are, let's talk about, like, you know, I have conversations all the time. Like, we have so many kids that don't know what's your biological family, mom and dad side of addiction. Let's talk about it. And if it's there, we need to have like super candid conversations with our kids. You're at risk. If you drink a beer, you're going to become an addict. That's not what I'm saying. But you need to know you have higher risk for things. Our dialogue needs to be clear. Our dialogue needs to be more raw. And we need to get our heads out of the sand talking about, we get really uncomfortable about addiction. And we shift eyes. And I'm like, well, when more than half of us know someone who's struggling with addiction.
It's nuts.
Like, dude, why don't we
Jersey,
talk about this?
Three times the national average. The deaths from opioid overdoses. Three times the national average.
And it's about time that we're verbalizing this, but we're about 10 years too late.
Well, when we go to these like City of Angels events, I find people like one-on-one conversations, they are telling me every detail of like how they've had drama with their son or daughter. Yeah. And I'm surprised they all want to sit there and talk about it.
Well, you know, and here's the thing about Governor Christie. Okay, I just need to say this. This guy's talking about addiction at 485 pounds. Okay. He wants to victim blame while he is shoveling marshmallow fluff into his mouth by the bucketful. Oh, okay. Here's what I mean. It's addiction. This
addiction's addiction. It's
all the same thing. It's all whenever you are abusing something.
This isn't a fat joke, okay?
No, it's not a fat joke. It's like an extended fat joke.
But it's a fat point.
But don't you think it's more of a political distraction? Like, there are fat people that aren't addicted to food. They just like to eat and they're unhealthy and they don't exercise. I mean, think about all the high fructose corn syrup in bread.
Absolutely.
Like we're eating this pre-digested corn, which is creating a hunger and you can't satisfy it. And it's empty calories, so you just get fat.
The way I have been described, and this is how it was described to me, Aaron, and you're the expert here, so tell me if this is correct. It's when it's addiction becomes problematic when you're not using something for its intended purpose. So if you're eating to make yourself feel full because you're hungry, that's A-OK. If you're eating because your mother didn't love you enough and this makes you feel momentarily happy, now you've moved into a place where it's problematic. And it's whether it be food,
what if you just love pork?
Well, I mean, listen, we all love the pork, Bill. Oh, I'm sorry. pork. I apologize. I did not understand.
Aaron, my
what
apologies.
You said. But I was just about to say, there's pornography addiction. There's sex addiction. There is
heaps of different
13 minutes
absolutely.
And 13 seconds in. But, Jay references pornography. Time
well,
one.
Well, I didn't reference any specific pornography. That we can true. Get into that some of the ones true. I enjoy. But no, it's but that's the thing. It's when it becomes problematic is where it becomes to me an addiction. And to see a guy who is rolling at, you know, conservatively speaking, 975 pounds. Talk down to people on the opioid crisis. That's very galling to me.
At the risk of defending Governor Christie, who is not my biggest fan, nor am I his, I don't think he talks down. I think he loves to find the smartest political enemy to make.
Right.
And he makes it, and he's very good at politics, which is how he got elected twice. I mean, he identified the pharmaceutical companies. It's like in the health insurance battle, it's very easy to vilify the insurance companies. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, you know, actually a lot of the people working for the insurance companies are good people, and there's what they're providing, you could argue, for most people working out just fine, but it's easy to vilify them. It's like vilifying the rich when you're fighting over a tax plan. And he's taken state resources to sue the pharma companies. I'm like, but where's the help for the kids? So from
well, and this should have happened 8 years ago. Right. It's very. I mean, I do think.
Think of the children, Jeff.
They should have sued him 8 years ago. You think?
No, I think it should have been brought up 8 years ago because this was just as big of an issue 8 years ago. I'm again not taking Governor Christie's side by any stretch of the imagination, but I do kind of give him at least some kernels of kudos.
He's fighting something.
That he's at least fighting this because you can't go anywhere. Like you're talking about, you know, these parents you're sitting with who are just pouring, they're hurting. Mm. And, yeah. And we're in a state that people are hurting and they're tired. Mm-hmm. And you can't go anywhere without somebody knowing somebody who's struggling with an addiction. Yeah.
It's
and
like
it's like, dude, what are we doing?
It's a fresh wound every
and
time.
Grief
we walk
is forever.
Through.
And it's like you're whether it's, you know, the mom who's struggling with the 21-year-old who has, you know, been struggling with addiction for 7 years, who's still here in physical form to the one who's lost their mm-hmm. child. I mean, it's like, how many kids are we going to bury?
Whether how does it yeah. differ, though, with the age? Because, you know, people have asked, like, okay, if I'm having a problem with my 15-year-old or my 16-year-old, you know, the solution probably was somewhere 10 years before when that kid was 5, 6, 7. Not for everybody, but at what point, like, you never want to say it's too late, but the therapy and the counseling must be different for a 15-year-old as a sophomore in high school to a 28-year-old.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
And depending on where on the spectrum of use, whether it's mm-hmm. like, you know, like you were talking about, Jay, experimentation,
right.
to they're now like, okay, I'm more than dabbling, to I'm fully dependent. And I'm an addict. You know, I am dependent on the substance in order to kind of get through my day.
Right.
And so I try to hit the ground running where, you know, I have kids go and talk to middle school kids, talking with high school kids and having open dialogue about, you know, if you're really a friend and you're really concerned about someone and you're seeing all these red flags, step up and do something. And I think that's where as humans, we kind of drop the ball big time because we don't like, I don't want to make any waves. Or what are they going to think? And I'm like, well, that's total crap. Because if you really care about them, you're speaking up.
I think a big part of it, too, is we need to decriminalize all of it. And what I mean by that is, no, I'm not saying that we should make it legal to do drugs. What I'm saying is if you're addicted to drugs, you shouldn't go to jail for that. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're found with, because right now, if I'm a kid and I'm addicted to something, at some point, I'm aware I've committed a crime. Mm-hmm. So what we're saying to them is you're evil for what you've done. So you're going to have to face punishment for that instead of what we should be saying to them, which is you are sick and we will make you well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, make it illegal to sell, continue to make it illegal to sell, but mm-hmm. you have to decriminalize it if you want kids
but
to stand
none of
up
it's
and
but
working,
that's the
right?
problem, you make the though. Argument, none of it's working. Drug use is way up. Opioid addiction is way up. And whether it's an illegal drug or a legal drug, everybody, you know, like I've heard this argument. So Phil Murphy, who's going to be the governor in January, said, we don't want to decriminalize. We want to legalize.
Right.
And the argument is, well, the stats in Colorado aren't really bearing out the narrative that you're pushing here. Tax revenue is not even close to what they projected. It's maybe a third. And they've actually had a higher number. It shocked me today. So we did a segment on chasing and, they said the arrests of young black kids was up 58% since they legalized it in Colorado. So it reverses this whole social justice narrative. So the point is, like, I don't even know if we know what the stats are. Like Colorado to New Jersey to Alaska. Does any of that matter? And is it anything that government can do? Or is it really about parents kids, inner strength, making good decisions. I mean, there's bad, there are temptations out there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and if you're I think, with food could be an addiction.
Well, so, and again, I don't mean to step on the thing here. I think that anytime you make it about inner strength, I think you make it a good, bad narrative. Because what you're saying is you don't have the willpower to stop yourself. And I think that's the same idea, but we're framing it wrong, right? If you say you're sick and we need to get you well, that's different than saying you need to have inner strength, because now you're framing it like there's a moral dilemma here. Nobody wants to be addicted to anything. My brother died of alcoholism. He didn't want to drink, right? At no point did he go, you know, I like that I'm destroying my body each and every day.
But didn't even recognize that he was.
Yeah, oh, he did. I mean, he was you know, clean like his last 3 years. He started going to AA, and he died from complications from how he lived his life up to that point, which I want to say this about my family. We don't do anything by half measure. That
you
guy,
go all out. Man.
You talk
you
go about all his alcoholism. Out, his doctor was like, I've never seen a liver like this. And I was like, I'm a little proud.
I say it and I frame it this way, that if it's about strength, you can always get stronger. And there's no, you know, there is no magic fix to people finding inner strength. And also I think, like, we had a couple guys on the show that they were homeless, addicted to heroin. We had one guy in particular that we followed around for a few weeks, got him off the street, got him into rehab. 6 days, he leaves and he's back on the street and he's like, nope, I'm going to do this my way. Right. Now, I don't know what happened to him. I mean, he's out there somewhere. So is he mentally insane? Is he actually sane enough to be stubborn? I don't know.
Right.
Right. But I don't know. But what do you say to a kid though? Like a 15-year-old kid comes in, how do you get them? Your job would be exhausting. I don't know. It's so depressing.
Yeah. But it's how you look at it. I don't look at it. I feel like I have the best job in the world. Yeah. I mean, I get to work with kids' hearts and I have the opportunity to sit one-on-one with people who, because all of us have been through stuff. And we all, right. I look at it like we're all our own novels with different chapters, and I get to help them with where they're at. And so it's trust that I try to build up with these kids, and they'll come and talk to me. And I try to meet them with where they're at. And just like Jay was saying, I'm a big believer in, like, we don't have enough money that we're putting into treatment facilities, whether that's individual counseling or full-fledged residential programs. It's pathetic when us as addictions counselors in high schools and middle schools all over New Jersey, okay, on which they're cutting back on and they're making part of us part-time instead of full-time, I can't breathe during the day at times with some of the things we have to deal with. And that's okay, because that's my job and I love it, but we got to get our priorities in check, because this is a battle. And you don't ever see a battle where you have one dude running out in the middle of a field with a machine gun. You're an idiot. It's a whole bunch of people and it's a collection. So we can point fingers, right, or we could rock and roll and say, what are we going to do? And it's sitting down and talking. And it's a huge problem, and there's solutions, but we need to sit down and start talking about it. And they need to include people like me, and they don't ask us. I'll tell you that firsthand. It's people making decisions and rules and spending money, and they have no clue what's going on.
Lynn Regan said that 1,000 times. She's like, they never come asking me.
They never come to us. And you want to scream from the rooftops. Yeah. I've been doing this 15 years. And I've seen a whole lot. Not too much surprises me, man. But it's heartbreaking. Yeah. Talk to us, and we're positive, heart driven people, but we're losing our kids.
But you know, you've got a tough edge to you, which I like. And I'm
the drug lady, baby.
So I think it was crazy drug lady, but we're gonna edit the crazy out, right? No, but that's Lynn says that too. She's like, it's tough love sometimes. You know, she counsels parents. Sometimes you gotta change the locks. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you gotta really push and fight, because it is a fight.
It's a fight, and it's always a fight.
The fights are ugly.
Because you know what? When we're parents, we're not supposed to be their friends. Right. And I think that's one of the mistakes that we make, where it's like, you know, take their cell phone, look at what their message is. How are they getting, where are they getting their drugs from? I say this almost every day to people. You know, I am a big believer in that. Or what apps are they using? The technology today with how they're getting and using and doing whatever goes hand in hand with things. So it's multifaceted. And how, I mean, we have the highest purity of heroin in the country. And to
that's something, is that a brag?
That's where, and then you have batches going around out here where it's laced with fentanyl and carfentanil, and it's like, we can't keep up. But it comes down to the fact that we need to start dialoguing about this instead of just pointing fingers, because there is a solution, but it's going to be a long haul.
you know, speaking to the legalization, at least the decriminalization of it, somebody pointed out something on Reddit, I think it was, which was, you know, when I was a kid, it was a lot easier to get pot than it was to get alcohol, right? Because it's regulated, right? When you walk in, there's government, you know, sanctions that say you can't sell to kids. I mean, kids still can get it. But yeah. If you think about it, I thought back to my own high school experience, and it was like, yeah, illegal drugs were easier to get than alcohol for the most part.
Was it at your high school?
No, I didn't do either of those things.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying
I believe that. I'm thinking Jessica wasn't drinking, yeah. Wasn't smoking pot.
I keep laughing about the expectation of privacy, though. Like, my mom would totally read every text message in my phone if she had right. The opportunity. They'd never be like, oh, let me not read her text messages. She's got a lock on there. Yep. I don't want to.
Well, you know. Bill and I come from a different generation. My mom would steam open our letters that we would get.
My mother would unroll the package from the carrier pigeon.
Oh, really?
She'd just unroll it right there in front of me.
Raven like, the Raven would land. The Maester.
Morse code somewhere in the mix.
But it does strike me that, and you know, I need to say this one more time. I hate the fact that there is a moral judgment on addicts from the top down. And, you know, having been one, having seen one, you know, with my brother, there's nobody that wakes up one day and goes, I want to destroy my life, right? Or if they do, they don't really mean that. They're just in an existential crisis.
I wonder how many just think they're in control.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's part of the thing.
Invincible. I mean, no one thinks, I mean, I'm going to roll out of bed in the morning and say, I'm going to become an alcoholic.
I just like to booze and do drugs. I like the high. I can control it.
And I can control, absolutely.
The problem
Daniel has told us that. Like, I'm in control.
They have to think at some point, I'm in the best shape of my life and I drink every day. Like,
right. Well, and also,
not sustainable. A functioning addict, which happens, you know.
And remember, a lot of these drugs are giving you a false sense of superiority and control. Right. I mean, that's part of why they're the appeal. But when you have Just Say No, or, you know, Donald Trump's whole thing of like, we're going to have the best advertising telling you about the opioids. Oh, great. Thank you, Donald. You fixed the problem. You set up.
But don't you think that's in every facet of life? I get crazy every October, people wearing pink. Like, the awareness campaigns make me nuts.
Right, because they don't do
anything.
They're
counterproductive and somebody's making money and it's not helping anybody.
It's your way of saying, I'd like the idea.
Aaron's like, I got to digest it. Who's this guy? Well, I don't know how to deal with this guy right now.
I like the idea of helping, but I don't want to actually help. Right, that's what you get when you.
No, I want to dump water on my head and feel like I'm doing something, but I feel better. But I'm not saving any lives.
Well, I used to get mad when during the Gulf War, the second one, people would just put the yellow ribbon on their car. It's like, well, I guess you care about the troops. You've bought a magnetic ribbon. Good for you, right? But what are you actually contributing? What are you actually worried about? But I think when it's a top-down, just say no kind of thing, you create, without realizing it, a moral division. You're saying to the world, if you didn't say no,
boom,
you're bad.
Right. Or I'm not listening to anything you said after that comes out of your lips because false. I mean, I'm making my own decisions and you're telling a kid or whoever no.
But inner strength is different than that because I can only take it from the perspective of raising my own kids. And it's like, you've got to be strong. The world is going to kick the crap out of you if you're not. You got to be tough. You got
to
be strong.
Well, and you have decisions to make. And I kind of look at different approaches. It's like one of mine is, you know, I always ask people, like, what's your natural high in life? And what is your stoke? What do you find that gives you that rush? And like,
for Jay, it's doing this podcast. Yeah,
see, that's what it's all about.
Oh, actually, no, it's the promo for the podcast.
I was going to say cocaine. That's natural, right? I mean, no, I'm only joking. It's the promo. I was very happy.
You were
today.
So excited. He texted right away. He's like, I just want to tell you, I really love today's promo.
Okay, and then, this is tangential to what we're talking about, but I'm going to say.
Well, I mean, Aaron brought it up.
My therapist said about negative times all the time. When something positive happens,
focus on
talk about that as well. And I was so happy with our promo. It was so much fun.
Was that what that was? That was a therapy in action?
Well, no, it was an acknowledgement of a good moment between
us.
Did
I correct your spelling on that? Because now I'm feeling a little guilty.
Beard and beer. Got that wrong. Jessica thinks my beard makes me look super creepy. And I said, Christina likes the beard. That's my wife. That's all
Jessica
that really matters.
Jessica ignored you completely. Like, she deals with my calendar appointments. You totally ignored that. You didn't. How about that?
Yeah, she did. I'm not going to acknowledge that. She did Icy Blonde Mean Girl to me, which is, I'm not even talking to you right now. I'm not even looking at you.
I'm trying to reread them.
It's too late, Jessica. It's way too late. It's over.
I sent the beautiful text. 2 weeks ago. Because, listen, other than Wellbutrin, which I am on a massive dose of that. I'm drug free. other than the drug that I take every morning.
You said mixing Wellbutrin is mixing with adrenaline, but at first I read Adderall. And I was
Wait, you're not taking Adderall too? No, what happened?
Bill said, you're a little punchy from my lack of sleep, and that may have been, but I just wanted to tell my two friends that I do the podcast with how much I enjoy spending time with them.
That's positive.
That's positive. See? Crazy drug lady believes me.
Crazy drug lady gets it. You mentioned beer. There was no beer there.
I don't know how much that means, but.
That's what I thought you were complaining. Then why is Jay complaining about the lack of beer?
No, Siri heard beard and wrote beer. But I was talking about how Jessica beer did not like great. My beard.
Beer would have been good this morning.
No beard would have been good too.
What's wrong?
Jessica's anti-beard.
I think I look really good. I really do.
I think you look good too, Jay.
I think I look like a, you know what I look like? I look like a wolf man who's a businessman. Like I'm a wolf man.
I wasn't going to go for that, but okay.
The full moon comes out and I turn into a wolf. But then I go and I make deals.
You know what I noticed? You're wearing a nice shirt as well.
Because I'm a Wolfman businessman.
See, Aaron, for context, Jay usually shows up and he's got like three superhero t-shirts. And typically he's wearing the red one with the flash lightning.
Can I tell you honestly why I'm not wearing that?
When I think of Jay Black, I think of you in that shirt.
What happened to the shirt?
I'm going
to
tell you 100% why I'm not wearing it. They were dirty. So I put this on because I had not done my laundry. So this is the shirt that I wear when I haven't done my laundry.
That's the leftover laundry day shirt?
This is my leftover laundry day shirt.
It's kind of a nice shirt, though. It's got a collar
on
it.
That's why it's so backwards.
Yeah. I mean, this is the world. I'm in the upside down, Jessica.
Stranger.
You are in the upside down.
I'm season 3 of Stranger Things, living a life right over here.
I think I got bored with Stranger Things.
What?
I just finished the...
Do you really like it, though?
Hang on. Let me send a negative tweet to you right now.
I don't dislike it.
Wait a minute.
It's pretty good.
It is good. Here's what happened. It changed from the upside down to their everyday life is like monsters and weird things growing. Oh, sorry.
I totally don't watch it.
You're not going to watch it though, are you?
No.
So the scene with the bus.
She deals with real life monsters,
like,
Bill.
When they're on the bus and they're fighting the stupid things.
Yes.
I got bored. I'm like, it's not fun anymore because now they're no longer in the upside down going through the tree.
I think you just got jealous that Steve has better hair
with
than
lights.
You.
He's got pretty good hair.
I think you're watching it going, oh man, I should probably do Vidal Sassoon on my hair. No, listen,
you do age yourself. It happens all the time.
I have a very old soul.
That sounds
Bill.
like a 1979 commercial.
I'm reading a biography of Frank Sinatra right now.
Yeah.
And we're deep into
Jersey
the rat, we're deep into the Rat Pack. And I am picking up I all the vernacular. Like today my wife was like, what'd you think about that? And I said, it's a real gasser. Ding it, ring a ding ding. And my wife's like,
What
are you doing?
And I'm like, you know, that could be a title too.
It's a real gasser.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Ring a ding ding. Funny?
Crazy drug lady's good.
Funny?
Hey, don't be a harv. Don't be a harv.
What's a harv?
That's a downer. It's not a cool guy.
Downer?
Yeah, you're being a total harv right now.
No, you're not. Don't listen to him. Just tune him out. Tune him out.
Sometimes, asking too many questions, sometimes. I guess.
Sometimes you got to let Jay go. Because remember, it's therapy.
Why don't you be a gasser like me and Bill?
So what's a gasser? Like we make people laugh? So what do we do?
Gas is a good time. A gasser is a person that facilitates a good time. So it was a real gasser.
You're a total gasser.
He's quite the gasser.
I'm going to use that on the air tomorrow. Two weeks ago.
Okay, cool. And
we'll see how it goes.
A harv, a real harv, is somebody who's not fun to be around.
Why? Harvey? Like, is it after a guy named Harvey?
I think they met Harvey Weinstein, a young Harvey Weinstein.
Maybe that's it.
It was like 17-year-old Harvey Weinstein. They were like, hey, get away from that potted plant.
But if you say don't be a harv today, they're going to think like harv means perv.
Yeah.
So why don't we bring it back?
Let's bring it back.
It's done.
You guys are relating to so many millennials right now.
That hurt. It's true, though.
There are millennials listening to records pretending that it sounds warmer, so I feel like
hipsters.
We could probably
How do you feel about hipsters, Jay?
Let me tell you something about hipsters, Bill.
They need therapy.
I'm not a fan.
I've heard that.
You want to talk about an addiction?
We should invest in Jay's Christmas gift.
If you get me a record player, I'm setting fire to New Jersey 101.5.
Yes.
Okay. There's a bigger problem than opioids, and it's these damn hippies talking about how warm it sounds when they put their record player on. Okay, maybe it sounds slightly warmer, but it's a 12-inch disc.
What does that even mean, though?
Nothing. It means
nothing. What does that mean? How is music warm or cold?
Yeah. Okay. It means that they're doing the wrong drugs. That they are listening to these records going, this just sounds warmer. I'm going to listen. You just want to be different. Just say you're going to be different. Why do you be different in a way that's more convenient to the rest of the world?
The bigger issue is the wearing of the knit hat inside.
Well, that's just going bald.
I don't think so. I think there's hair there. I think that they're covering up, not washing their hair regularly. I think it's a whole thing. Huh. That's what I think. That's
you know
theory.
What? You've just given me something else to hate. Back.
Right? Right? Because you take the hat off and then you get this matted hair because you haven't showered in 3 or 4 days.
Okay, here's...
Right?
Here's
and you're wearing it in the summer, so there's sweat coming
out. Throwing
in
all the dry shampoo.
So now there's sweat. I mean, it's disgusting.
Let me rank.
What do you think that hat smells like?
You know what it smells like? It smells like a marijuana farm. in South America. That's what I bet you it smells like. I bet you their hair smells like pot. Here's, I'm going to give you my list of things that I hate. Number one is people who listen to records.
Yes.
Number two, people who wear knit hats. You just gave me
inside,
that.
Inside.
Number
I wear a knit hat outside.
Number three, the opioid crisis. That's my that's one, the that's ranking. My top three.
Yeah.
You should tweet that.
Of problems
and
in
that order.
In that order.
In that order.
I feel like we just have, how long have knit hats been on this list, though?
Today.
Okay.
About 8 minutes ago.
It when occurred Bill mentioned to me, it. I think of hipsters with knit hats playing records.
Yeah.
With a needle.
Beanies are great.
Right? Well.
Outside.
Yeah, outside.
Outside in the winter.
Outside. When it's cold and snowy.
Yeah, when you need them. Not when you're...
I feel like we got diverted.
I'm sorry. Aaron, that was my fault.
You know what? Judge, you're being a harf. You're being a real harf right now. I got to be honest. I want to be a guest. You're talking about hating hipsters and
I'm going to bring that back to my high school, and it will become...
The harf.
Yeah.
Hold on. Don't be a harf. Help your friends get over addiction. Don't be a harf.
Yeah, I've just figured out. You got to do it. You sign like, hey, you don't want to be a harf. Stop doing heroin.
Right. Don't be a harf.
Make t-shirts.
What, do you want to be a harf? Okay, keep doing heroin. Whatever.
You know what?
Harv freeze the way to be.
If we were in a bad after school special right now, people would be like, I don't want to be a Harv.
No.
They take the needle, break it in half.
So very dramatic.
I like that. I like that.
How did the heroin problem get solved? Well, we've traced it back to a Speaking Millennial episode.
Right.
That's number 36. Don't be a Harv.
We eradicated.
Yep.
Yeah.
No kidding. Seriously?
I did that math in my head, Bill. That would actually set you on fire if you tried to do that. Yeah, you would actually burst into flames.
I've actually brought someone in
2 weeks
ago Friday.
Well, you just wrote up the most recent one, right?
Yes, I know. We're on 34 and we're doing 35 is Meatloaf Day. This is 36. Listen, I'm no Harv.
The Welpurchin's working for you. I got to tell you.
It really is.
It's almost like a limitless pill you're taking.
I try. Yeah,
like
I can
the brain is just like, whoo.
I can see through time. And let me tell you something. That North Korea thing doesn't end well.
No, probably not.
We are all in a nuclear fire in about 3 months. So if smoke them if you got them.
Aaron, you have a podcast.
I do.
Excellent.
Yes.
We were down to our last couple minutes. I figure you should plug your podcast.
I will plug away.
Because Jay's going to add our sponsors in at some point.
Yes. Well, the sponsors
beginning, end.
Will be in the beginning. We could throw in a thing for Aaron's podcast, too. We could
of
do that.
Of course. I want to do that right now.
So what is the podcast about?
Do it live.
My podcast is called Goodness Chick.
Goodness Chick.
And kind of what my premise is talking about parenting. Mm-hmm. Kids from elementary school all the way up through college, and talking about mental health, addiction, and really kind of self-care. So I kind of feel like it applies and everyone can get something out of it. But I think we're kind of in a funky place right now. And when it comes to mental health, when it comes to addiction, when it comes to how do I raise my kids? And I just believe in open dialogue. I believe that, you know, it kind of takes a village. And, you know, we try to go at things solamente. That doesn't work out real well.
Right.
And let's just learn from each other kind of thing. And that's kind of how I roll. I launched last week.
So what kind of guests do you have on the podcast?
My first guest, actually, it'll be on Sunday.
Ooh, this just started.
Boom, last Sunday.
We are right
yes,
at inception.
Right, we're on the edge, baby.
I love
we're
it.
On the edge. So,
wait a minute. Wait. Timing-wise. Next week from today, or you're projecting that we'll
Sunday.
Be airing 2 weeks
ago?
No,
we aired this
past
Sunday.
So 2 weeks ago Sunday. It was great.
It was launched. It was
awesome.
It was
a great episode.
Yep.
I appreciate that.
It actually rocked the entire world right now. We're living in
did.
A post-Goodness Chick world in this moment.
It took two episodes.
Two episodes. But I'm excited. It's going to be a weekly thing. I'm going to have different guests, you know, ranging from, you know, wellness, self-care, talking about the opiate epidemic. And what are we doing instead of just like you guys are talking about, instead of pointing fingers and making excuses, let's kind of find some real tangible solutions, you know, kind of in 15 to 20 minutes or less, quicker than a Domino's pizza delivered to your door, trying to come up with some, you know, viable solutions.
You don't think I got sued for that?
I like
the whole 30 minutes because there were car accidents after you. No, it's all right.
I like that that Aaron framed that in a way that our current governor could understand, because he might be listening right now.
Two in one podcast.
He's like, wait a second.
Two in one podcast.
30 minutes. Why, that's as long as it takes to get a pizza to my and Aaron has so moved me with this idea that we have to like start early with our kids within dialogue. I've already given up on my 10-year-old. He's beyond
it's too
help.
Late now. Too late. Yeah.
I'm going to start with the 2-year-old.
Start with the new one.
6-year-old, I'll see. 10-year-old, done. I'm just going to tell him, do what you
point.
Want. Yeah. There's nothing I'm going to do for you.
That's it.
But I'm going to start with my 2-year-old. I'm going to make this work for her. So thank you, Aaron, for that.
Aaron, it was great to meet you.
Thank you guys
Thanks for coming in
today.
So on iTunes.
Yes, on iTunes, Goodness Chick. And I'm also on, I have a Facebook page and my website, goodnesschick.com.
Awesome.
And I'm a parent coach, motivational speaker, and addictions counselor.
I love it. All right, good. I'm going to have you on the radio.
So we'll stay in touch. I would appreciate that.
And get on, if you just scroll down in the description of this podcast in your
player, there's
a link as you speak that you can click on and go find out. Don't listen to any advice that I give.
Rate and review. So if you downloaded this and you're listening to it, stop, go out, subscribe.
Subscribe.
Right?
You want to find an addiction that helps everybody?
Yeah, subscribe to Speaking Millennial.
Speaking Millennial and Goodness Chick and rating and reviewing and telling your friends about it.
Thanks, Aaron. Good to have you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. I'm Bill Spadia. Follow me at Bill Spadia on Twitter. Follow Jessica at Chasing Jess Nut, and you'll find Jay somewhere.
Find me, goodnesschick.com.